It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right. Hit it right this time. Recently, I read the article thing. Like, so COVID brain might like be a real thing. In that when you have a low level stressor that is just constant over periods of time, there are certain behavioral issues that humans will get involving memory issues and fatigue and depression issues and so forth. And so it looks like that's a thing, which I'm grateful about because I've been witnessing it myself and my wife and family members and things. Really bad. The real bad one seems to be the losing train of thought. That's been really bad lately. And my wife is just of an age that I'm like, is she starting early onset dementia? And it's like, no, apparently it's just COVID.
Well, of course, there is research along those lines in a lot of areas. One of them being that people who are below a certain level of poverty are experiencing a certain kind of stress constantly. And so they've discovered that it's, you know, for people, like I say, for people at a certain level who have to experience financial stress like nonstop, like all the time, that they're also going to have more than normal. Effects. Yeah, more than normal of those effects, which of course, one of the significant things about that research and its finding is that it would seem to make it more difficult for people in that situation to get out of the situation, right?
Yeah, I didn't think of that, but that makes total sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to tell a story, but it's not a story that makes me look great, but I'm going to go with it because I often have this. So, my boxing game. You know, that I'm exercising. This, by the way, really bad burn I got from the oven that just took the dressing off and I'm letting it dry a little bit, but it's getting better. But yeah, it was nasty. Anyway, so my boxing game, as I believe I have mentioned in the past, I have my little trainer and you get 8 of them to pick from. And I picked the giantly tall, hugely busty Australian one because I did. And as the game, as you do the exercising more, you unlock clothing options and you can change your trainer's outfits. And I do this because it's fun. It gets boring otherwise. And you get new stuff and you're like, that's cool. We'll put that on for change. New color combos and stuff. And there's lots of details. Like she can have glasses of all sorts of types and like gloves or like Fitbits and stuff. And so I mix it up and whatever. And some of them are pretty the raciness level varies and you know whatever, and sometimes I put her in some weird army fatigue sweats the other day because it looked cool. But so recently I unlocked new clothes and I unlocked a new category of clothes, which is sets, and it is a whole like outfit, like it's a top and a bottom.
Oh.
As opposed to that, and of course Japanese made game, unlocked a set. It's a bikini for your boxing trainer. You know, a bikini for your boxing trainer.
There's only one set?
Well, yeah, because I unlocked a new group of clothes, and it was the first time anything from this. Hmm. So this is the first in the sets category, and it's a bikini. But me, pervert, whatever, decided what the hell, we'll put that on. And it's weird because it says, this outfit for tropical background only. There's different backgrounds. It says using a different background will change to a different outfit, which I'm like, That's weird. And also, because I changed it the other day, and today was the first day I tried it, and my workout thing, all that meant is just every single workout routine was tropical background. So that was weird. But like, she can still have different glasses and still have different hand accessories. But like, I tried to put shoes on her and it suddenly switched to a whole different outfit. So I'm like, that's weird. So I left it in it. So I put it on her today, and I changed it, her out of it right after my workout, because it feels weird. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not it's not particularly sexy. The way in general she moves, there's not a lot sort of titillating about the thing anyway. Just all of the outfit. Like, she's a good looking fake anime person, but there's nothing really super sexy. And yeah, and that especially, and she's barefoot and we're doing boxing. It's weird. I'm done. But the reason I bring it up is because at least in the localization, there is somebody subversive working behind the scenes, and I know this, and I'll tell you why. So when you go and change your instructor's clothes, at least my instructor, I've only had the one, but after you've changed the outfit and you get out of there, she reacts to what you did, what you picked.
Okay.
She has exactly two reactions, and they are based on whether or not in the game's mind you have picked a matching outfit or a clashing outfit. Mm. And in fact, there are achievements for both. If you picked something that matches, she says, "Ooh, this is lovely." And if you picked something that clashes, she says, "I'm not sure about this." Mm. And when I put her in the bikini and exited the menu, she said, "Okay."
Okay.
Just like that, and that's it. Like, you could hear the teeth being gritted in the back. She's like, okay. Like, the game is causing this to be happened, and I can't stop it, but I'm not going to contribute to this. We're just, no. Like, you could almost hear the sigh before. And it's hilarious because I know all the things she says now. And so I'm used to, like, "Ooh, this is lovely." Doesn't even sound that weird to me anymore. I'm not sure about it. And sometimes I get mad when she says, "I'm not sure about this." I'm like, "What the hell? That matches. It's white, white." Like, what the hell? But then this one, I'm like, leaving the screen. I'm not even thinking about it. I just hear her go, "Okay." And I'm like, "Whoa." Apparently none of us are enjoying this experience. So yeah. Just wanted to throw that out there because I thought that was really, I'm like, that feels really deliberate. The person who was in charge of the English thing there was like, nobody's going to notice. So I'm going to put this in here because goddamn, why are we letting people dress their boxing trainers in bikinis anyway?
Well, it wouldn't really work like that, right? I mean, they had, if you're saying that she only says two things, it would have just been a matter of applying one of those two things. So someone had to go out of their way and record a third thing.
Yep. And a weird choice. Like, because, well, the other option is there was some sort of team meeting where people were like, "How's she going to react when we put her in a bikini?" Well, she can't like it. That feels a little creepy. Yeah, but she's not, we don't want her to be disapproving either. That'll feel weird for the person. We don't want to guilt the player. On the other hand, we don't want to encourage them to fetishize their boxing instructor.
Oh, but also,
let's
though,
just say okay. And I refuse to believe that meeting happened.
Right, but you don't know yet. You don't know yet what she's going to say if you put a different set on her, because you haven't earned another set yet.
That is true. I will let you know. I will update you. I also don't know if all the fucking sets are going to be bikinis. That's my real fear. My real fear is all the sets are just things that, like, are too skimpy to be considered separate pieces of clothing.
Well, because like, to say this is lovely or I don't know about this is a cue to you, the player, that you've done something wrong. But if it's a set, you can't do anything wrong. So,
yeah, maybe. I guess I couldn't have clashed with, like, I couldn't have given her glasses and a watch to clash with the bikini. So maybe yeah. It's that simple. But I don't know. It feels weird. I mean, and super appropriate, but yeah. Like in a very deliberate way.
Yeah.
So that kind of amused me. But yeah, won't be going back to that now. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world committed to getting everyone in the world to pronounce the Djerin spelled D-O-I-N-G universally as doing. What are you doing? What are we doing to do? What are we going to do? That doesn't work. Doing. When you say doing, say doing all the time. It's funny. Do it. No one can prove you wrong. They're spelled the same. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 521. So all the stuff I said for episode 520 about it being the last of the 10th year and blah, 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 that's here now.
Yes.
It's now.
So
move it all to here.
Did we have a lag, or did you, for a hot second, forget your name?
I, for a second, forgot what I was going to say. Not my name.
Okay. Okay.
But the number of the episode.
Because I was like, I'm Tony, and then there's just this pause.
No, do you know why? Because I'm somehow fixating on this. So people have probably noticed that when they watch the podcast on YouTube, it looks like I'm kind of leaning over all the time. Well, this way, like I'm leaning, but I'm not leaning. I'm sitting straight up. It's just the perspective of the camera. So, I mean, if I did this so that my shoulders were like straight, I'm actually leaning over a lot in my chair. Like, I don't even know how to move my neck so it looks natural. Should I sit like this?
No, very much not. And I'm going to explain to you. I think it's just you. Because here's the thing. I think the normal thing looks weird to you because you can look at yourself and how you are sitting and compare it with what is on the camera. How you have sat in the camera has never looked remotely at an angle to me or anything. And now it looks weird.
Okay.
Because you're doing that. Like, that looks totally normal. I have never assumed you are leaning or anything. And I think it's just because you have the added context of seeing how it actually is in the room.
I can also take my shoulder. That it looks
weird to you.
I can put my shoulder up.
Yeah, no, that just looks like you've got an injury. If you always thought William looked like he's sitting weird and these strange little gesticulations he's doing are improving it, tell us at the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com. I'll be shocked if anyone other than Azure Talon does it, and I assume he'll do it just to be sarcastic. What? That's not fair. A bunch of you are sarcastic. Yeah, I should give you credit. Speaking of which, we done fucked up.
What? Who? You and me?
You and me.
You and I mean? Is it I? You and I? You and I did?
I fucked up.
What did we?
Me fucked up. Yeah, it's you and I. I fucked up and you fucked up by association, I guess, which is probably where most of your fuck ups come from. So, week before this, which was already a bit late, I told you we need to talk about Project Cassandra on here. I texted you. I said that. So we're gonna talk about Project Cassandra because we've only got like 6 listeners. And if we can't plug their creative projects, that's sad. There aren't a lot of them. So, I mean, like most people, it's like, we're a big business. We can't be doing every single. We absolutely can. We could plug every single person who listens. Could have a creative project. We could both plug it and give a small synopsis of what it is, and it would still fit in like the intro of one episode. So we have no excuse. And I was like, we got to talk about Project Cassandra, which is Craig, longtime listener, possibly the entire contingent of the international hard hats out there now, did a thing called Project Cassandra. It is a role-playing game thing based around Cortex Prime, I believe. I might be wrong about that. About fictional, or are they, psychic programs done by intelligence agents in the Soviet Union and maybe in the US during like the 60s. And so you play like psychics and shit like that. And he did a Kickstarter of it. And we knew it was coming a long time ago. I think we offhand may have talked about it. He's talked about it on the blog. And I was like, we missed when it started. I meant to plug it and we didn't. And then I was like, we need to do that. And I texted you about that. And then what happened is we did not do that.
No, we didn't.
And then this week I remembered, because I'm the good one. And I went to Kickstarter to look it up so that I could get more information to be sure to do. And it appears to be over.
Oh,
like already, which I'm confused about, because I thought those things were 30 days and it started on February 20th and it is March 11th. So, but it could be this thing. It's a zine. Which might be different than a bigger thing.
Okay.
So maybe then that's a shorter time. I don't know. It's over though, and I'm sad. Craig, if people can still get involved in stuff, go to the blog, themagicaltalkingcat.com, and talk about that. And hopefully people will find out there. And hopefully if you do that, we can talk about whatever you say next week. But it's us, so in 3 weeks, you know, what, you know, by the time we remember. But so you all should have gotten involved with that, including me. I meant to back it and now it's too late and I'm sad. So yeah, so we suck. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Yeah. Oh, I should explain the show. We have a podcast wherein we don't plug any stuff from the like six people that listen. No, we have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people, an increasingly smaller number of people, because we refuse to plug their shit on our show. Not refuse, forget. But people, wonderful people, write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little comments, notes, questions, topics, things like that. The hat magically, on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's folks draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is just almost all of it. So the important thing I think we first have to discuss about this week is WandaVision, because I have things to say. I still feel like it can be, things could be said without spoiling, so I'm going to endeavor to do that in this case. How did you feel? So far, you have liked 1 out of 8 episodes. So did it become 2 out of 9 or just 1 out of 9?
I liked some very specific parts of it.
All right.
Like there's a
particular character deteriorating, or you are really like stretching out. You're sort of William Shatnering it here, because it absolutely sounds like when the internet gets into.
There's a particular character in the whole thing that I think I've already said. I won't mention the character because I want to avoid spoilers too. This was a character that I was a little bit disappointed in, and then in the second to the last episode really impressed me, and then in the last episode I still liked how that character was handled. The rest of it,
it's got to be Jimmy
Woo. You know, it's all right. I mean, I didn't dislike it. But I don't think it impressed me like it did a lot of other people. But it was fun to watch, really, mostly.
Have you watched the pitch meeting?
I think I have, but I'm not remembering anything from it.
It's, well, that's the thing that I remember is they're like, Jimmy Woo's in this. And it's like, oh, what's he up to? And they're like, well, he got way better at close-up magic. And the producer's like, wow, I did not realize that was something I was rooting for, but I'm incredibly happy that he's done that.
No.
And I was like, that's legit. Like, yeah, I hadn't even remembered that, but I'm so happy for Jimmy. And this is the thing that comes out of WandaVision is I do not want Falcon and the Winter Soldier to happen. I want you to scrap that TV show. And instead, I want a show about Jimmy Woo and Darcy the astrophysicist just going around solving crimes.
I mean, that would be good.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be good.
I don't care about Falcon and the Winter Soldier and they kind of don't get along, I guess. I don't know. Neither of them had much character to begin with. So I'm not sure where their issues arise. Other than, you know, racial tension and former brainwashing trauma, which, I mean, I guess you can pin a lot on that, but I don't care. But I want to see Jimmy Woo and Darcy just doing their level-headed best to get through the day surrounded by all these superheroes that are just annoying as shit and, you know, just cut through and be there for the little guy. I would watch that constantly. That could be a 24-hour show for me. So make that happen. Make that, Disney.
Make
Jimmy Woo and Darcy. Sorry, I was just checking in case it was a text that mattered. It's not. Sometimes I get those. It's weird. I don't know if this is the right word. I was disappointed in the finale. In that I was hoping for something else. I was not necessarily expecting something else. So disappointed might be not the right word, but I still think the show is good. Quite good. I still highly recommend it. What happened, and what particularly happened because of the way it ended, is I discovered this is not a strange, unique, and original television show. This is the Scarlet Witch MCU film, and we happen to cut it up into 9 pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in that sense, it is very much a standard formula MCU film.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the beginning, it was very confusing, and there were a lot of questions and a lot of possible ideas. And I'm not talking about fan theories on the internet, because I didn't know most of those references. Although, guess what? Turns out almost all of those didn't pay off. A couple of them were solid, but most of them, no. And I still firmly believe a lot of those were deliberately put in to troll people. And I think that's some bullshit. But so I was like, ooh. Well, when I very first start watching it, I'm like, this is odd. And then very quickly, I'm like, oh, here's what I think is happening. And then very quickly, I'm like, oh, no. There's clearly more to it than that. What is this? This is so weird. What is happening? Oh my God, I'm so excited to see what it is. And then at the end, it's like, oh no, that first thing I thought, that's basically what happened. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it ended up being a Marvel movie, which is fine. And it was a good Marvel movie. And had I seen it in the theaters, I would have been like, this is a good one. I liked it. It was nice. Maybe one of my top Marvel movies, but I am at the point where I can see the formula and I'm not as invested anymore. The Marvel movies are a good time, but I'm not hyper involved because I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure I know what a lot of the beats are going to be and how it'll end roughly. And I was right. So that was disappointing. I'm just going to throw this out there without any spoilers at all, but in such a way that I feel like some people will know why I'm bringing this up. My experience with the Vision, the superhero character, was very limited, in that I didn't read comic books. So I didn't know who the fuck this guy was, except for in one thing. There was an arcade game called The Avengers, and it was cool, and it was fun to play. And it was one of those four player things where, like, you and your friends can all play, and everybody gets a different Avenger. And there were only four Avengers, and they were Captain America, Hawkeye. Was it Hulk? I feel like it was Hulk. For some reason, it could have been Spider-Man. I feel like it's Hulk. I don't remember. I didn't really play the other one. And the Vision. And like the arcade screen had a little bit about, so I knew he was an artificial being or whatever. That version of the Vision is very white with a little bit of blue highlights and looked very cool in a sort of Silver Surfer vibe almost. And that's what I thought the Vision looked like. And when the Vision happened in MCU and was red, yellow, and green, I was like, big oof there, Marvel films. What the hell is this bullshit? Why did we make him Rasta colored? That's weird. And then I have since found out that's what the dude looks like always has. But I always pictured him as sort of white with a little blue. And like I said, no spoilers for WandaVision, but I just found that an interesting story to tell, possibly for people who have watched WandaVision. Also, that dude's name, Cataract, I think that's hilarious. They didn't mention it in the show, but that dude's name is Cataract. And I'm like, that's brilliant. That's fucking brilliant. You know, Vision,
okay,
Cataract. I love it. It's great. So yeah. And yeah, that's all I gotta say. It's a good show. Still watch it. Go watch it. It's nice. not a super eventful weekend. I do have two movies I want to talk about.
Well, talk about them.
All right. I'm going to talk about them in backward order because I have a feeling I might talk more about one than the other. So last night we watched the HBO Max original film Locked Down. Actually, I'm going to pause here. Some of you may have noticed I'm doing a weird pattern to my voice things today that I'm just sort of aware of, and I think it's because I've been watching a shit ton of a particular YouTube channel, and this is what he does, and I think it's just rubbing off on me. And I do want to talk about this channel because I think it's kind of awesome. Did you end up watching that video I sent you about the Addams Family?
Yeah.
What did you think?
The things he had to say about the Addams Family, not all of them seemed quite right to me as far as like facts about it, but his insights about the things he said about kind of their role in society or whatever. I mean, I think that was probably, about right. Yeah. But I mean, like he mentioned that he talked about the original comic and about how that didn't really have anything to do with anything. But the fact of the matter is the movies with Angelica Houston and whatever, that they went right back to the source material. And there's lots of things in the movies that are like pulled right out of the comics.
Right out of the New Yorker stuff?
Yeah. I think like right at the beginning of one of the movies, they're people are knocking on the door of their house and they're about to pour a cauldron of oil or whatever. That's right from the one shot, comics. Or not one shot, one frame comics. Yeah. So, So actually they, for the movies, they really went back to the source material heavy, and that was a kind of a big deal, because the show in the 60s, he was right about that, that the show in the 60s sort of said, okay, well, let's take this sort of aesthetic and let's make this TV family kind of turned on its head or whatever, because that's not really what the comic was. And in fact, in the comic, they were pretty mean. Like, I mean, he said that they were sadistic and masochistic, but not really mean. When I look at the comic, I think they're actually quite mean. And I think in the film, what they do is they say, well, let's pull them away from the goth Ozzie and Harriet, and let's make them sort of mean again in the films. Although I think he's right that they weren't mean. You know, I mean, they were like they were still a loving family mean. I don't know. I don't know quite how to put it. But I think some of the stuff he said, I agreed with. I mean, the stuff he said about the cultural impact, I think was right. Some of the historical stuff he said, I think might have missed the mark a little bit, but I mean, maybe he and I just see it different. But he's a good presenter, though.
So that was just for my benefit. I wanted to know what William had thought of a specific video I sent. I feel like if you all listen to that, it's going to kind of turn you off of the channel I'm about to describe. So it's probably better if you just pretend you didn't hear any of that. Because also, the video I sent him is not standard for the channel, let alone all of that. But I discovered this channel. It's called Scaredy Cats. And it's this guy from Toronto. And he talks about horror stuff, mostly horror movies, occasionally horror other things. And I just like him. I watch a lot of channels that sort of make fun of / review / analyze crappy movies and things like that, or horror movies or sci-fi movies and stuff like this. And so on a certain level, it's nothing new. I like his deal. I don't want to go so far as to say if I made a channel like this, this is what it would be. But if I made a channel like this, I think this is what I would be shooting for. This is what I would like it to be. He's also quite political and doesn't shy away from it in his horror movie stuff to a degree. He actually was going through the entire old Wishmaster series of films, and he got to the third one and he hadn't seen it since college. And he was really shocked at how not good it was, but also how weirdly misogynist it was. And so he kind of took it through a feminist critique in the thing, just kind of off the cuff. But then at the very end, where he's doing the like and subscribe things, he's like, yeah, if you like this, please like it and subscribe and click the bell. He's like, and if you wish I would leave the politics out and just talk about the movies, you must be new to this channel and don't really get what I'm doing here. And it's probably better if we go our separate ways now. I don't think this will be for you. And I found out he has another channel, I think he's had even for longer, called Thought Slime, and that's where he does his politics. And he is a pretty hardcore communist, and that is a lot of his shtick. But he's incredibly progressive and incredibly aware of sort of the subtleties in identity politics and stuff like that, and it comes up in a lot of places. And in fact, just today I accidentally ended up watching a video of his talking about how communism and materialism don't have to be fucking transphobic as they currently are in the UK Communist Party, and had some pretty well-reasoned arguments, and it's also just funny. So I would recommend checking this guy out to everybody. It's called Scaredy Cats is the channel, and not to be confused with a podcast that came later called Scaredy Cats that also discusses horror movies. And it's from one of the people at Polygon, and I'm sure it's great. Different thing. So this is Scaredy Cats, the YouTube channel. And you'll know, because it just has this one doughy white guy named Scaredy Matt talking about things. And I would recommend it. But he has this same sort of vibe where he almost feels like he's doing a low-level Zoidberg impression all the time. And I find it delightful. And I think I'm accidentally copying it during this podcast, so I apologize, because I've been watching so many of these. He also, in recent months, has created a cartoon character, because he's also an artist, called Bobby Duke, the Babadook. And he's like a Babadook, but he has like these giant sunglasses and wears a suit and has like a New York accent and tells you to like and subscribe. Mm-hmm. And they've created like all this mythos. And every time it's incredibly self-aware and meta and talking about like he can't believe the bit is still going. And every time it is also contractually obligated for Bobby Duke to specify that Matt created everything about this character, including the voice being done right now while on a marijuana edible. and I've been having fun with Bobby Duke, the Babadook. But anyway, so that was the aside. So let's go back. I watched the HBO Max original film, Locked Down, starring Anne Hathaway and a brilliant actor who I looked up the name earlier again. I can't get this one yet. I cannot get this name. He is a Black British actor. His first name starts with a CH. His last name starts with an E. He was the main bad guy in the Serenity movie. He's been in a ton of stuff. He's brilliant. I'm going to try again. I'm going to look at it and try, because I feel really bad. I've been working on this lately. There have been too many actors with names I can't pronounce, and I'm like, I kind of owe it to them to get their fucking names right, which is why I just got Daniel Kaluuya right. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, but I'm at least giving it a shot. Okay. The gentleman's name is Chiwetel Ejiofor? Chiwetel. And then Ejiofor. You know him. Most people who have been watching any sort of current movie, he's been in a lot of stuff and he's really good. And he's quite prolific. You know him, but the name is hard to find. Anyway, it's him and Anne Hathaway in a movie set in London during basically the now times. And the deal is they have been together for a while and she was just about to leave him, and then lockdown happened. And weirdly, she told him after lockdown started that she had just been about to leave him before lockdown. So now they are stuck together in the same townhouse, apartment, whatever, with each other. And she works remotely at her job, and he has been furloughed, so he doesn't currently have a job. And it's a comedy. It is absolutely a comedy. But it's a lot of it is dealing with the sort of frustration and hopelessness of that, tied with the general pandemic issues. And then as it goes on, weird circumstances cause their jobs to intersect in just such a way that they become aware of the fact that through very little effort, and because of the unique circumstances of both fate and the current pandemic situation and processes in place, they have the opportunity to steal a $3 million diamond from a department store. And don't know if they want to or not, but they're thinking about it. And so the movie sort of pivots into a heist film in an odd way. And have you seen the trailer for this? Did you ever see? Because they made a big deal when they first did it. It was one of the, what is quickly becoming a subgenre of movies made about COVID during COVID. There's quite a few now, but this was one of the early ones that they would talk about. And I saw it and I'm like, I don't know, because honestly, quarantine depresses me. And also it looks a little rom-com-y, and you know how I am about that. But I do like both of those actors and I love a good heist movie. So I was like, yeah, I want to watch it. Yeah, sure. And then it came out and the reviews were, it's fine. And so I was like, yeah, maybe, I mean, maybe I'll watch it. I don't know. But then Trish got a thing about it and she's like, yeah, weren't we going to watch that? I'm like, yeah, sure. Okay. So the other night she's like, let's watch that. And I didn't have a reason not to. So I was like, sure. So we watched it. Good. Liked it a lot. Fun. Funny movie. I don't know if it will hold as much impact after COVID. I genuinely don't know, because a lot of it is tied into that. And there's a lot that resonates with me because of that. I feel like it's a good movie though. And it might not work for somebody who like forgot COVID existed, because it would be confusing. But otherwise, I feel like it. And it's funny and it's interesting and it's very relatable, especially if you're 40s, I'm going to say. There's a very underlying current, especially in Anne Hathaway's character, of, I hesitate to say, midlife crisis. Like, she's very successful at her job and is beginning to realize that she also may hate this job that she's very successful at. And there's a whole thing that their history goes back from when they were younger and were bikers and stuff like that. And now they're like our age and like what that means and stuff. The two of them have impeccable chemistry, which is a tricky thing to say, because especially at the start of the movie, they kind of can't stand each other, but they do it brilliantly. It's one of the best performances I've seen by Hathaway, and I think Hathaway is brilliant. And I love him in everything, and he does a great job here too. I think I'd recommend it to most people. Trish isn't sure because she thinks sort of being of that age would help, but it's a fun time. So check that out, people, on HBO Max. I don't know that it'll ever be anywhere else since it's like an HBO Max original film, so who knows? But check it out. It's fun. The other one was Frailty. The 2001 Bill Paxton directorial debut, Frailty. Have you seen Frailty?
I have. It's one of, how should I say this? It's one of the movies that Abby thinks is like one of the scariest movies she's ever seen.
I can understand that. I don't know that I agree, for very specific reasons that I'm going to get into, because I'm going to spoil the shit out of this movie. We're going to talk about this now. So, yeah. And this movie is based on like twists and not knowing what's going on. So if for some reason you want to watch this movie, stop listening, go watch it. It's on Amazon Prime right now. But I'm going to do this because it's hard not to talk about otherwise. And I got shit I want to say. And mostly, I think it's a terrible movie and I don't think any of you should watch it. So I don't really care if I spoil it for you. But it is special in that it wasn't a terrible movie until the end. And then the end makes the entire film retroactively bullshit in just an amazing way. And that's why I have to spoil it, because I can't really talk about it otherwise. So, I mean, go watch it now if you want to watch it. But, I mean, or if you want to watch it unspoiled. It has some great performances that you can still appreciate if it's spoiled for you. But, fucking A. All right. So, 2001's Bill Paxton directorial debut, Frailty, is about a single dad in the South. Oh, he's in Texas. Yes. It's all about Texas. I forgot. We're in Texas. And he has a vision from an angel of the Lord that tells him there are demons among us and that he has to destroy these demons. And the angel will tell him how and when and all that stuff. And then that'll happen. And it's going to be his family's thing now, is they're going to be demon hunters. And he has two young boys and he tells them and gets them involved. And the problem is, to the outside world, the folks that haven't been visited by an angel, it just looks like a guy who writes down names of people, goes and finds them and kidnaps them, and then kills them. And in particular, to one of his children, it really looks like that. And that's bad. And it's a brilliant idea. It's a fun conceit. And it's really fun to play the game of, like, is it possible that it's real, or is he just crazy? And it feels like he's just crazy. Like that, that is throughout the film. I think if you had to put money on it, it feels like he's schizophrenic. Yeah. And because his older son full on is like, I don't know what the hell, you're killing people, this is awful. And the younger son is going along with it, but very much in a vein that feels like, I want my father's approval. And clearly my brother makes him mad when he says he doesn't see what's going on, so I'm with it. And so it's a very dark film. And so now I want to back up. The framing of the film is Matthew McConaughey, as the framing of so many films are. Matthew McConaughey goes to an FBI agent because there's been a serial killer going around, serial killing. And Matthew McConaughey is like, I know who it is. It's my brother. He dead now. I just killed him so that he won't do this anymore. And I'm here to tell you about it so you can close the case. And also, I'll take you to where I buried him. Because of reasons, I buried him in a specific spot we agreed to earlier, and I'll take you there. And the FBI guy is like, the fuck? And Matthew McConaughey is like, let me start from the beginning.
What's that FBI guy's name, that actor?
Powers Booth, which yeah, I was Powers super Booth. Excited to see him yeah. in this too. Well, I was like, what the fuck?
Powers Booth
being here, but it's Powers Booth. He's the FBI guy.
Yeah.
And Matthew McConaughey is the eldest son, it turns out. Bill Paxton's oldest son, who did never see no demons and knew his dad was just batshit crazy from the beginning. And so this is how we get the story. It's all in flashback of dad and how they lived, and mom died, and Bill Paxton. It's like, God said, we're going to do demons. Like, what the fuck? And then he finds magic weapons, in that he just goes places and finds a pipe. He legit finds a pipe, and this is a magical weapon the angel gave him, and an axe with gloves. And that one's just sad because he finds this axe with gloves. He's like, this is a weapon. He's like, I don't know what the gloves are for. And I'm just like, the gloves are so that you don't get blisters on your hands while you're chopping wood with the axe. But then no, it turns out the gloves are so he can capture the demons, because when he touches them with his bare hands, the demons get revealed, which is still bullshit, because the demon, the people are still just people, but suddenly he has visions in his head of what bad stuff they did, you know, almost like it was all in his mind. And then he can kill them. And so this goes on, and it's horrible. And the son doesn't believe, and the son is not shy about admitting that he doesn't believe. And dad is worried about this. And so then the twist comes up. The angel also told dad that the oldest son is a demon.
Mm-hmm.
But dad refuses to believe that, which is interesting because the angel has told him a lot of fucked up shit that has caused him to straight up kill people. But this one, he's like, no, and this is God's will. This is all absolute gospel truth, except this one. I'm going to prove the angel wrong. He says that multiple times. Already weird. So I'm like, this man is really traumatized, and the younger brother is caught between the two, and it's terrible because he loves his older brother, but he like wants to be on dad's side, and he kind of believes, and it's all weird. And the dad does horrible things to the son in the name of helping him see God.
Yeah.
Just terrible stuff, and it is a dark, horrible film in this way. Meanwhile, outside of the flashback, we are going to the Rose Garden, which was near the house where all the flashback stuff happens, and where it turns out they buried all the demon corpses. And for reasons, the elder brother agreed to bury the younger brother there when he died, and he recently killed him and he buried him there. So that's where we're going. So meanwhile, back in flashback land, Bill Paxton, who again, I should say, I like Bill Paxton. I mean, RIP, all that stuff. He directed and starred in this. He shouldn't have done one of those things, at least. His performance is a weak point for me in this film that I've established I really don't like. And I don't know if the fault is his direction or his acting or the fault that people need to stop directing themselves. It never goes well. Some of my favorite actors and directors, their weakest performances are where they are starring in the thing they're directing. It never fails. Pisses me off. Anyway, so he locks his son in a dirt basement for weeks with no food and minimal water so that his son can see God. And his son does see God because his son hallucinates. And his son's all down now, and we're going to go get a demon and grab him, and we're going to kill him. And the son's ready, the older son, and the son's got the axe, and he goes, and instead of killing the guy, he kills his father, which is sad, but very understandable. And then we go back to the present, and Powers Booth is like, why are you telling me all this shit? And this doesn't make any sense. What the hell is going on? And then Matthew McConaughey is like, surprise! I'm not the older son. I'm the younger son. You know, the one who said he believed. And I said I believed because I totally believed all of this time. Which, by the way, if you are watching this on Amazon Prime and you pause and it has the little X-ray thing that tells you all the actors and it says who they're playing, it lists Matthew McConaughey as playing the name of the younger son. So huge spoiler. I didn't catch it. Luckily, my wife did. So that's some bullshit, Amazon, but whatever. So turns out he's the younger son, but he really did kill his brother. His brother really was the serial killer. And he really is buried in the rosebush because the older brother really was a demon in his mind, because all this shit is real. And the angel was right. The older brother was a demon. Was serial killing people, which the younger brother knew but didn't do anything about because he had to wait for the angel to put the name on his list, because the angel would give them lists of demons to go, and you can't go do it until it's on the list. So why does all this happen, I asked, and also Powers Booth asked, and it's because Matthew McConaughey is like, because you're a demon, your dead mom that we've been talking about throughout this thing, you killed her, and so I have to destroy you. Destroy, it's a very important thing. You destroy demons, you kill people, is the thing. We actually ended up having to kill a person to protect the secret about destroying demons earlier, which was terrible. And I'm like, oh shit, this sucks, man, he's still doing this. And then Powers Booth says, how could you know that? How would you know? And he's like, because the Lord told me. And I'm like, wait, so it's real? And then Powers Booth, who's just been stabbed, or I don't even remember, is like, I'm an FBI agent. They're going to find you. They saw you. And he's like, no, the Lord will protect me. And then we cut to a huge investigation trying to find Powers Booth, in which the Lord is fucking protecting him. The security camera has bad tracking and static right where you would have seen Matthew McConaughey's face. The people who literally spoke to him are telling people, writing down, I've drawn a blank, I can't remember what he looks like. And then we go to the town where he come from, we're going to look into this, and then we find out Matthew McConaughey is in fact the sheriff of that small town, and so we're just there to notify him about his brother, and he's really sad, faking it, you know. But it's fine because he's a demon, and his pregnant wife, who also works there, they still hunt demons, and it was all true. So this movie was about the shittiest God imaginable. That's all this movie was. You know what's an interesting movie? A movie where a guy thinks he's avenging things for the Lord and destroying demons, and you're not sure if he really is or if he's a schizophrenic. You know what's a also interesting, but not as interesting movie? A guy who's a schizophrenic and thinks he's avenging on behalf of the Lord and killing demons, and meanwhile the world around him has to deal with these delusions that he's having. You know what's the least interesting kind of movie? A movie where God just fucks with people so they will murder his demons on his behalf because they're bad people. Because that's what demons are, is bad people. Because most of the demons don't seem to know they're demons. That's a bad movie. And this wasn't that movie until the end. And then it became that movie. And that's a bad movie. And I can't even imagine rewatching it because it's got to be so painful to watch the shit that was already really painful and realize, oh no, this is legit God's will. This is the brilliant, ineffable plan. Like, that's terrible. So I can see why this movie is really scary to your wife and why it would be really scary if a person was like that. But it loses something because I'm like, unless now you're just scared of God, who's clearly an asshole in this universe, it's not scary anymore. I'm like, no, it's just a bad movie. But prior to that, yeah, very scary. It was a very chilling movie. I was kind of into it. And there are some great performances in it. It just retroactively now is a movie about the worst God ever. Sucky God. So bad. I mean, ugh. And you didn't have to. You absolutely could have done the end almost identical in just a way that made it uncertain. It still could have had that whole things fall together so he gets away with it level, and just not, but there are just enough things that it is, I mean, correct me if I am wrong, William, pretty darn explicit that it's true and that God, or at least some supernatural entity, really is directing these things to happen, and these people that they think are demons are definitely at least murderers. So this is a good thing.
I mean, I think one of the reasons it freaked Abby out was because that there was, yes, there's something supernatural going on, but I don't know if she felt confident that it was, you know, God or whatever. It was just supernatural powers were at work, you know, and everybody else was kind of a pawn in the whole thing. I mean, I think there was just something uncanny and eerie about that. I don't know if she really gave much thought to whether or not it was God or what kind of God about. I mean, clearly those characters thought it was God, an angel. Yeah, that's true.
And clearly Powers Booth murdered his mom.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Even if we accept supernatural, we still only have the crazy people's word on it that the other people did horrible stuff. We don't know. So then it could be like a demon manipulating them. But Powers Booth confessed, like Powers Booth definitely murdered his mom. I think it's an incredibly scary movie if it's not supernatural. I think then it's one of the scariest movies I've seen in ages. But well, that's explicitly how they chose not to end it.
Right, right. But I think that's another aspect of it, is it's like, I think for her it was scary either way. Like, it was already really unnerving. And then when they picked a side, it was just unnerving with some supernatural stuff on it. I mean, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we never really talked about the theology around it. I don't think she really got that. I don't think she thought about that. I think it was just.
And I mean, I don't disagree with her being a really scary movie. I don't find it that way for reasons. But I can if somebody says that movie was really scary, I'm like, yeah. For me, it was just overshadowed by that movie was really bad. And again, retroactive. It was not, I mean, it was a very dark and harrowing movie until the end. And I'm like, oh, so God just has the shittiest sort of bureaucratic system. The whole, like, yeah. And I knew he was killing people, but I couldn't do anything about it or tell anyone. I had to wait until the name showed up on my list, which was many victims later.
Well, and it might be, I hesitate to speak for Abby on this, but I'm just sort of trying to, I think another aspect of it is that, you know, if this all was real and if it all was from God and if that's what God's like, that's also scary.
Yeah. You know? Which is legit. Legit. I have had this in the theological debates I have in my head with fundamentalist scary. Christians I know. If fundamentalist Christians in a lot of their theories about hell and all that are correct, God is scary.
Yeah.
And mostly because he's all powerful and a shithead. And that's a terrible combination. So I could get that too. I think you should have her on here. I think we should pivot this entire podcast just talking about this movie. Because this movie sucked, but it's fun to talk about. Because the hell? Why would you make... This is like... If you told me M. Night Shyamalan made this around the time he made The Village, I 100% would have bought that. This has such a middle career of M. Night Shyamalan feel to it because of that. And this is why I said Bill Paxton shouldn't have done something. And I think maybe the answer is shouldn't have directed. There is a scene, because Bill Paxton's character is a mechanic. And there is a scene where he's visited by the angel to get his first list of names. And during this scene, we see what he sees. And at first, it's really cool because he's under a car and he's working on a car. And there's pipes and stuff. And the pipes, like, pipes, whatever, the underside of a car. I don't know how those things work. I don't know about heart, but the underside of a car there. And then they slowly morph in a very sort of slow and subtle way into what is clearly like a cathedral roof from the inside. And that's very cool. And then an angel comes down, and the angel is pretty cool. And the angel's in armor and shit coming down, and that's cool. And the angel, and you occasionally cut back to the outside world and you see that he's still under the car and all that, and he's just staring. And at a certain point, you also notice that there's somebody nearby who is welding or maybe just angle grinding. I don't know. There's a shit ton of sparks just next to Bill Paxton coming to him and like within inches of him. And then in his vision, the angel pulls out a sword and it's flaming and the flames are really filling up thing. And you counter to the sparks outside. And I'm sure, first of all, the director must've decided that. So this is Bill's fault. And I'm sure he thought this was brilliant because again, it's the whole, you know, he's not right in the head, you're thinking. And so that's, you know, that makes sense that he's getting, but I'm just like, what the hell kind of half-assed workshop is this? It's incredibly dangerous to just have the sparks flying around right there. I half expected in the middle of his vision one was gonna hit like his pate and he was gonna be and like hit his head or something, because the sparks are like right there. Like, I couldn't, my suspension of disbelief was not the angel with the flaming sword under the car. My suspension of disbelief was the goddamn sparks flying off right next to his head. I'm like, I understand how that lends to the vision, but it has caused you to create a workplace environment that I'm too preoccupied with how insane it is to focus on this. And then, of course, all of this moot, because it turns out it was real. Mm-hmm. He was really seeing an angel with a flaming sword, and the sparks right by his head were just horrible, terrible coincidence. Bad movie. Because it fucks itself. Like, it's not even very well-made movie that ruins itself badly. Great performance by McConaughey.
This is terrible reminding me. Movie. past week, we saw some series and it wasn't very good. And I can't remember what it was, but it's in the genre of shows that I call what shows.
So like 30 Rock?
No. A what show is a show that like the first half of it is like they're constantly throwing things at you and introducing new characters and moving from one thing to another. So it doesn't make sense. And you do a lot of what? But they're doing that so that later when they reveal how all these things are connected, you'll go, what? So I call it a what show.
Like WandaVision?
I mean,
I think WandaVision totally counts. I think WandaVision totally counts.
As a what show?
Yeah, because that was the thing. I'm just like, what? What is this? What is that? What? And then at the end, you're like, well, I mean, admittedly, it may have dropped the ball on the second what. Because I was like, it wasn't like, what? I was more like, oh, that.
Well, there are a lot of things that try to be what. That's the reason I was thinking about this. There's a lot of things that try to be what shows, and they fail. Sometimes they totally mess up the first what, because there's nothing interesting or fascinating, or it's just confusing. Yeah. And sometimes they mess up the last what. So it's like a what show, you know, like you're talking about.
And if you fuck up the second what, the first what bad enough, you will lose, because I will stop watching your show, even though I very much want to know about the second what. And I will fucking go to the internet and just find out what the second what is. As I'm going to do with the 30 Coins show that I talked about that we stopped watching, because I did not enjoy that show at all, but I really want to know what the mythology and story is. And I can find that out on Wikipedia, and it's much quicker.
Well, it's a very specific kind of thing.
The whatest what show of all fucking Lost.
Yeah.
And I spent a lovely afternoon learning the entire series of Lost, and it was quite good. And I'm so glad I didn't spend 6 years watching a TV show.
Lost is a show that you think is going to be a what, and it's not. It's just a what.
No,
that's all. One what.
It's a whole bunch of first what, and then some unrelated second what.
Nope.
The second what is we found some more whats, and we're gonna stick them here and call them the end.
Now, it's not something with a twist. That's not what we're talking about. No. We're talking about a thing. In fact, there probably isn't a twist.
If you know what it is you're anticipating to learn, it's not a what. It has to be something where you're like, I have no idea what this means.
Right.
And I really want to find out.
Let's see.
If it's, I have no idea what this means and doesn't include, and I really want to find out, it's not a what show, because you fucked up your first what.
That's right.
I don't care. I'm out.
Right. But again,
as time goes on, I find more of those.
Yeah.
Clearly you have a mystery here, and clearly I don't give a shit what it is.
But like M. Night Shyamalan movies aren't what's, because his whole thing about having a twist at the end is he wants you to think you know what's going on clear to the end. So there's no what's at the beginning. It's just at the end. Yeah.
And then what?
Yeah, exactly. So it's got to be that kind of show or movie that is clearly deliberately trying to confuse you, but hopefully not so much that you'll quit. So then when they explain it all later, then it's a whole different kind of what.
And it's very satisfying.
Yes, very satisfying.
Because you put all your what's together. I think it's very hard to do. But you are right in that it is very frequently unsuccessfully done. I mean, the vast majority of time.
Yeah. But the show I was watching was really attempting to be a good what show, and it failed miserably, but it was trying. You're watching a show like that when it's totally confusing. You don't know what's going on, but you're compelled to keep watching. Something down the road is going to be the second what. But what usually happens is they'll do all that stuff and it'll be confusing. You won't know what's happening. And maybe you'll even be compelled to keep watching, but it just won't go anywhere, or it'll be boring.
That's often part of a problem of the process. Things that can screw up what, the first and foremost, and again, hearkening back to Lost, you just threw a bunch of shit at me and you don't even know what the second what is yet.
That's right.
And it almost never can you make one that's really going to fit successfully. Or the network made me throw in a bunch of extra what that doesn't pertain to the second what. And so the second what's going to be really unsatisfying because I don't have the others. Or the network made me throw in shit later after the first what's that make it so I have to change my second what and it's not going to be as good. Or somebody quit, we lost, we're not getting renewed, something like that, so I have to speed up my what. Or, and this is one that can strike anybody, because a lot of these can be solved if it's a singular vision, sort of self-funded. I have seen like web series that can do this, but the last one can fuck up any what, which is, here's the second what, but I'm really hoping to continue this show. So I'm going to sneak a little extra what's in here, or I'm only going to give you part of the what, because I want you to come back.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, fuck you.
Here's another example of a what that didn't work. That was, what was the show that was after, it was based on Turn of the Screw.
Oh, Haunting of Bly Manor.
Yeah, that was definitely an attempt at a what that didn't work. Now, do you think the Hill House was a what or just something with a twist?
I think it was something with a twist.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
Especially, well, because Hill House resolved issues within the family. But as we've established, Hill House left out a lot of its own mythology, which honestly made it better. If Hill House had explained more things, it would have been worse. And Bly Manor explained all of the things, which made it worse. And also retroactively met a lot of the shit. A lot of the first what didn't fucking matter. And that's the problem.
But it was, but why did we clearly was
spend time on this if we weren't going to, if it didn't really pertain?
But they clearly were throwing a whole bunch of stuff at you at the beginning that was confusing.
Expecting
to have a big what. So that was definitely trying to be a what, but it didn't
and
work.
In that, maybe Hill House was as well, but it was not the be all and end all. It was not the point of that show.
Yeah.
Because I did start off Hill House being very confused and then being like, oh, when I found out. Like, so I, maybe it's a what, but it had more breadth to it. That's the thing. If your show is entirely just what, it better be awesome. And even then, like, it's really cool at the time, but frequently if I look back on a show like that, it's a little disappointing because I'm like, that was a cool revelation, but I'm not sure it was worth all the hour-long episodes.
Yeah, and it might not have,
like, I would rather have read a short story. I really wish you could remember what the show you just stopped watching was that was that.
I know. I wish, because actually, I think it was 2 weeks ago that I watched it, and it was really bad. We watched it because someone was in it, and if I could remember who was in it, then maybe you could help me remember the show. A woman was in it. Oh, who was it?
COVID brain people.
Mother I've lost it. Maybe I can. No, I've always been this way.
And maybe I can remember to put it.
Yeah, then gives up. Maybe I can put it in the notes if I remember.
Yeah, no, and this is Lost especially has driven it this way. Everybody wants to do a what nowadays. And it's super annoying. Like, and unfortunately, I think on a psychological level, it fucking works is the problem. If you show people a bunch of confusing things, and as long as you've convinced them that you, the show creator, have an answer, they're like, I want to know the answer. And this show clearly isn't treating me like an idiot because it's throwing in all of these clues and not handholding me to the answer. So clearly it thinks I'm smart. And so I need to follow it through, so that I can verify at the end, I guess, that I'm smart when they do spoon feed me the answer.
Well, they're often based on a person whose memory. That's another thing. And that's what this...
You froze at just the wrong time. They're based on a person who's what?
Often based on a person who's lost their memory.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was the case in, like, Memento is a little bit of a what movie. This was someone lost their memory, and so you that's the conceit they use to make you, through their eyes, be confused, and everything's pieces and puzzle pieces, and you don't know, and then everything gets put together later.
Or the shittier version, the J.J. Abrams, if you will, where everybody knows everything, but you, the audience, just don't get chunks of information until the right time. It's a mystery because we didn't tell you this part. So it's not a mystery to the rest of them, just to you, the audience.
Lily Rabe was in it. That's why we watched it, because Lily Rabe was the star.
I feel like I should know this. I feel like I saw the trailers for it.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, by terrible coincidence, unrelated to her acting ability, I frequently don't like things she's in.
Oh, we like her almost in everything.
No affront to her. It's the same problem like with Catherine Hahn. How I said, like, Catherine Hahn ends up in a bunch of rockets. Lily Rabe seems to end up in things that are disturbing in ways that really bother me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's an amazing actor, but she manages to pick projects that just, like, traumatize me. No, and I mean, I think there is a subtlety of skill of keeping people in a narrow perspective of what's happening and very slowly widening it out. And I think that is hard to do. Yeah. And I think there's a perception that doing a what's easier. And I think that perception might be accurate if you want good enough. So people will watch things, not Lost, because they really dropped the ball so many times on that. But a lot of these things have pretty shitty second what's, but the general audiences find them satisfying enough, and enough that when that person makes a new thing, they try and watch it. And I mean, I don't want to get too condescending here. I'm victim of this too. There are definitely shows, especially when they're limited run shows, that I just fucking watch because I want to see what the second what is. And I mean, I sat through almost all of 3 seasons of Legion. And Legion is one of the what-wattiest shows in the history of the world.
Agreed.
And
yep. That's a good example.
Like, with a mental fortitude I didn't know I possess, halfway through the last season, I forced myself to stop watching. And I'm like, there's no payoff here that's gonna make it worth it. These things are making me very depressed and sad, and I hate it. It's not worth it. And I can look it up online. And I looked it up online, and the ending was pretty lame ass, in my opinion. Mm. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm trying not to use lame anymore, ableist. The ending sucked. I'm still going to demonize Fellatio, even if I try not to be ableist. So the ending, I thought the ending was pretty pathetic. Like, it wasn't that exciting event. So yeah, that's a great example of that. But I mean, everybody else is like, yeah. So yeah, maybe it makes sense. People do things because they are effective, not necessarily because they're good quality.
Yeah, that's right.
And it is a very tricky thing to not J.J. Abrams. It is very, I've seen it done. I don't know that I can successfully do it.
Yeah.
The right perspective, and then it just slowly, you realize the bigger picture. Unless it's a version where it's like, yeah, no, we'll just don't look over there. You're not allowed to see over there. No, you can't look through the window till we tell you to look through the window. There's the window. See? I mean, I for some reason, I'm specifically thinking back to an old Irish play I read, I think called Rat in a Cage, that takes place entirely in an interrogation room between a Sinn Féin bomber and a Ulster cop. And slowly in that you basically learn that there's a larger picture and a larger history between these two gentlemen. Mm. But it's done very organic. And again, it's a play. So it is done entirely through their words.
Mm.
In a way that's not just, oh, we didn't tell you that part, and it's done effectively. So it can be done, but I think it is a tricky and subtle thing. And mm-hmm. and the easy answer, the shortcut answer that we all do is we're going from this character, and this character doesn't have the information yet.
Yeah.
And then the character learns the information at the same time the audience does.
Right.
And that's fine. It's not particularly exciting. It works. It's simple. But nobody's like, ooh, I'm amazed at how, like, this guy didn't know what his father was. And then we spent this whole time trying to find his father, and we found his father. And then we knew, and we were like, oh, it's him. At the same time, he was like, oh, it's you. Like, that's a story. Yeah. And it can be a fine story, but, like, that aspect is not noteworthy.
No, that's right. Agreed.
That's a skeleton on which to hang a story. But everybody's obsessed with these what ideas, and no, they're fiddly, and most of you are not up to it, including me. Full disclosure, including me.
Well, I've never tried one, so I probably
wouldn't even know where to begin.
I wouldn't either. I mean, I'd probably immediately cheat with the whole amnesia thing and realize, wait, that's cheating. Yeah, Everybody does that, and then I'd quit because it's like I don't know what to do.
This isn't a novel. This is a 1980s Japanese RPG I just wrote. That's not right. That would explain why my protagonist never talked.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're not getting to question people because we're already late. And we got onto other stuff, which we're again, very late. This is one of those where I'm not sorry because we had fun.
Yeah.
And hopefully you also had fun listening.
Yeah,
if not, I guess I'm sorry for that, but I'm kind of always sorry for that. but I mean, this is what we most hope for with this podcast. I mean, we love you and all, but we hope that we have a good time doing it. And I'll be honest, sometimes we don't.
No.
I mean, 521 episodes. I am not going to say I enjoyed every one of them recording them.
That's right.
But sometimes we have a fucking blast, and I really like this one. So, I mean, and hopefully that's what you guys get off on. So we'll see. But if not, maybe next week will be more structural and less fun for us. You can always hope. In the meantime, go to the blog and yell at me for spoiling Frailty for you. TheMagicalTalkingHead.com. Also, give us your what's. Nobody listens to me when I say go to the blog and do these things, except every once in a while somebody does. And it's always really fun when they do. Like,
it is.
Azure Talon will do a thing, or Jazz will do a thing, or occasionally Beth, 4 weeks later, will do a thing. And it's fun, and I like to interact with that. So do more of these. Do as I say. We'll all have a better time. That's what I tell. And that's how I introduce myself now to people. I'm Tony. Do as I say. We'll all have a better time. And listen again next week and do as I say. We'll all have a better time.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.